And yes, we're back on Dailies today. Yeah, it's good to be back. All right, you can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. That's Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's know what you think. We'll be taking comments. Yes, we will. Let's start with Vanguard page 10. 2023, I won't turn down your calls, Tinubu assures Nigerians.
That's an old trick. Tinubu is the front runner in the campaign for the president, for the presidency. But he needs to be a bit more creative and show a bit more drive. This is an old trick. Nobody is calling on anybody. I don't think what we need today is a Moses. What we need today is somebody who is determined, who has a solution in his hand that has shown us. We need a Moses to take us out of this rut that we are in. And I don't think it would help if we have any of the participants who put us in this rut. So this, the Tinubu camp needs to go and plan some other campaign. What might help Tinubu, I will tell you. If Tinubu can come up with the first-class running mate, if he can come up with the first-grade running mate, and he says, this is the guy, I just want to be the president, this is the guy who's going to drive all the ideas, it might tilt some things in his favor. But if he goes around the same old hat, Nigerian is calling on you, sir. Let's get that one straight. That tactics won't work. The best thing, get us, if you can get, like I said, a first-grade running mate. Let me tell you something.
Does it look like someone who is not hands-on? Like, will the running mate even have any...
No, I don't want to talk about his personality. I mean, we know what... Don't let's go there.
No, I'm just saying that even if he gets a good running mate,
it looks like someone
who wants to be in the thick of things himself.
I'm not saying... What I'm just saying is that it will help his campaign. Not that I'm hoping that is going to run.
Oh.
I would love to see a young, vibrant leader in this country. When I saw the videos of Kenyatta, the Ghanaian president, when I've heard how some presidents led their country in the bid for vaccines and they had done it over and done with, whilst we are still waiting to pass this and that, Nigeria needs a very inspiring leader. But what I'm just saying is that to help his campaign, if he wants to be president, it's his right to want to be. But to help his campaign, I'm just saying that it would help if he could bring some magician out of the box to say, abracadabra. We all thought that was the arrangement that was going to happen with Buhari and Osinbajo. We thought that the bulk of the work would be done by Osinbajo, but it didn't turn out that way for reasons of cabalism and all other isms you might want to bring out of the dictionary. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm just talking about his campaign. I'm not a supporter for his bid. I've made that absolutely clear. Nothing against the man in person, but I believe we need a fresh start. But I have a job to do here, and I jolly well want to do it. So what will help him is to bring out this old tactics of, nobody is calling on anybody. We need somebody who says, he says here in Abuja, after a closed-door meeting with the Northern Alliance Committee, he says that consultations with political stakeholders were still ongoing. And then he was asked if he will not heed the clamor of Nigerians to succeed. Buhari, Tinubu said, there is no clamor. The media has to be careful that you are not caught in this wind of propaganda to mislead our people. Where is the clamor coming from? There is no clamor. He's going to put himself out for election. If Nigerians want him, so be it. Nigerians, I'm sure, are clamoring for a break. If you ask the average Nigerian, the situation he is in, he would like something else that would take him out of this current situation. And I mean, it doesn't make sense for you to the same set of people who put you in the condition that you are in, you call on them to get you out of it because Tinubu is complicit. You can't take that. I mean, when I say complicit, because he's been governor, he's leader of the party, and so on and so forth. So, and then what actually bothers me is that the horizon doesn't look too good. I think Atiku is revving up his engines. So is Saraki. Same of same. You know, it doesn't look too good.
So it's Peter Obi.
So it's Mohalu. Mohalu, to me, is a very good technocrat, but I don't know if he can pull the trigger. You know, he's a very good technocrat. Mohalu would probably make a very good prime minister where you have a strong president, so he can do this. But I don't know if he has, if he can pull the trigger. Or let me put it in Nigerian language. I don't know whether I get delivered. I don't know if he hates. Presidency is not and you don't learn on the job. It's not a young man's job. When I say young man, I'm not talking about age, but you know, it's for a very strong whatever. And I don't know his antecedent, apart from having been in the central bank.
Yeah.
One or two of the former governors, I'm sure you know where my mind is going, would give me a bit more confidence. But we don't know what is going on. We heard Fashola might want to be, we heard Fayemi might want to be, Peter Obi is one of the former governors. But I would like a fresh, in all honesty, a younger person. I'm tired of presidents going in and out of hospital, sick today, sick tomorrow. Nigeria needs a strong, and you know Nigeria, unfortunately, Sheriff, is a country that has to be taken on hands-on.
That's right.
That was the credit that Obasanjo had.
That's right.
Whether you like it or not, whatever you might think about Obasanjo, Obasanjo ran this country hands-on. There's nothing, very little he didn't know. At the tip of his fingers, he was exceptionally brilliant at that. You might criticize him for all other things. Some of the Yoruba people say he didn't let Awolowo win election, as if it's the issue we are talking about today. That's neither here nor there. But you cannot say that he did not know his onions. You know, so that's my reaction today. So, Oga, you need to go and wind up. Go and wind up your campaign.
Hey, viewer on YouTube, Akindele says, JD, are you teaching Tinubu what strategy still work or will work? We don't want him. The same old cuckers who have ruined this country.
And you know, Akindele have a job to do here. I mean, make you softly for me, small there. You know, personally, and I've said it, and it's nothing against his person, even for his own good. I don't think. Even for his own good, I think he's crossing the limit. He's gotten to the limit of his political. I remember when Buhari won the election, and I was at Classic FM. My analysis of that day was not on Buhari; was on Tinubu. Go and check the record. I said because he's gotten to the climax. You don't have to be. You've produced a president.
Yeah.
Period. You've been governor, senator, produced a president. Gotten a coalition together, that's when the ovation was loudest.
Yeah.
I still stand by what I said then and stand by what I said now. So yeah. I can really not vex.
Well, someone said here, Ayola, who he said, Jimmy, you're not careful when you use your platform to clamor for Buhari in 2015. What gives you the right to determine what the media or Nigeria clamor? Anyway, clamor yourself.
And come and take my job now. I have a job to do. And I don't know if you feel intimidated by the way I talk or what things that I say. You can't blame me for that. People say I forced something down your throat. What did I do? Put a shovel and throw the thing down. You know, express yourself and stop feeling that I'm forcing. And I didn't sell Buhari. I did my job.
And I think people need to take responsibility.
Yeah, I'm just one of those. I think so. I'm
because
one of those.
Even if an analyst says something on the radio or on TV or you read, you saw some commentary in the papers and everything, it's still within your right to determine who you want to vote for.
Yes, you should put on your thinking cap. That's
your power.
It's disrespectful to yourself for you to yourself. Say that you made me vote. I owe your hand. You know, but it's just that the new journalism now demands that at certain points you have to take a stand. And that's why you find some papers and some magazines at some point write an editorial and say, because we are all nationalists in our own kind of way. But we are not always right. In Buhari now, I was wrong. I was wrong. Sorry.
Let's go to the punch, page 2. UK reverses Nigeria. Others travel ban, cancels quarantine, insist on tests.
I heard your program this morning, and some people were trying to make heroes out of the Nigerian stand. Mm-hmm. You were very lucky that they rescinded this. You know, this is a very good escape for us, or else our foreign policy was headed in the wrong direction. But that's all well that ends well. The British government have done a rethink. And that's the way countries should be run. The people went up in uproar. And then they just sat back again and said, wait a minute. this thing is widespread in our own country anyway. I mean, so what's the whole fuss about? Let's try and put it under control. And so they threw away the red list. If you followed what the process, if you followed what was happening on Sky News, watching their parliament in action, democracy is beautiful.
It is.
Not what we have here. Democracy is beautiful. They voted step by step. Should we put more restrictions? Should we do this? Should we do that? They argued and voted. And the majority had their had their way, but the minority had their say. So for all those, what it just means now, though, and then there was one other argument that, you know, because some of us were about to think that maybe it's not the time to go abroad, but said, look, this is the new life we're going to start living. After the, what's this one called now?
Omicron.
There'll be another one. By February, you'll have another one and another one and another one and another one. Welcome to the new world. So be very careful. Make sure you keep all the guidelines. Use your mask. Have your whatever standby. And I wish you all a very Merry Christmas in advance. Though I'll be here on Christmas Day, but just at...
let's throw the wishes now so that we can, in case we forget later.
Yes, and then for those who don't listen to us at 9 o'clock, from next week there'll be presents for you.
From next week, Abi.
I'm a hank on next week.
Is that does it mean something?
Yeah, you don't work. You know my condition.
So I'm just asking on behalf of some people.
I'm a hank.
Okay.
But I'm rather looking forward to the good news you give me this Friday. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Don't tell them my baby.
Okay. All right. No, let's not let it out.
No. No cameras. Though.
No cameras.
Oh,
no,
that's
cameras.
True.
Okay, let's go to page six.
Yes.
We'll ensure tenants pay monthly from 2022.
Why do we do this? Right from the time my late dad was a lawyer, I think he was during Mobolaji Johnson's time. Right from that time, I remember at one time he headed these small rent tribunal issues. The Lagos State government says you'll ensure tenants pay monthly. First of all, ensure that you get your cadres off the road and the environment. That's an aside. But in reality, the issue of rent is a straight issue of demand and supply. If the government had put more money and resources into making houses available for citizens, then, of course, the issue of rent will be sorted out.
Right.
What you are going to have is people will tell you, do you want to pay someone who lose rent or do you want to pay Sheriff Quadri's rent? It's as simple as that. No landlord is going to take money monthly. Not even with the cost of putting up the building, the cost of funds. It's unrealistic. So don't let's play to the gallery and, you know, keep people's minds up as if, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. I want to take a bet. 6 months down the line, you will put up our phones, open up our lines, and tell anybody who is paying month rently to call in. It's not. There are a few people. There are a few people who take their rents monthly. But some of them is for religious reasons. Some of them is so that you can kick the tenant's backside out of the place. Faster. If it's on month rent, then it looks... Some even pay daily. Like in my neighborhood, there are some places where they pay daily.
Daily.
Ne.
Short let, have you?
They don't call it short let. You just pay daily. Oh. And yes, and they have, but that's another arrangement. That what is here? On the island, though, I'm not talking of mainland, the island. But essentially, the government is playing to the gallery. It's not going to happen. Don't put your mind to it. It's not going to happen. Who would... I'm not a landlord, so... Yeah. But I do know that who would, after putting your resources, now collect money monthly? That might not be regular.
How about, you know, buildings that have been there, not new buildings?
Look, it's just not workable. Don't let's raise the hopes of our people unduly. Don't let's raise the hopes of our people unduly. It cannot happen. It's a matter of demand and supply. Remember that it went from 6 months. When I was young, people were paying monthly. Then it went to 6 months. Then it went to 1 year. Then it went to 2 years. But when things got so difficult, It went back to 1 year, not by decree, for two reasons. One, most people couldn't afford the 2 years. And secondly, the landlords preferred the 1 year so that they could change, they could adjust the rent every year. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a matter of demand and supply. But to raise people's minds and say that the government is going to enforce that tenants pay monthly.
But shouldn't that space be regulated, though?
There's an area for regulation, but there's an area for reality. The government doesn't have the muscle to prosecute this.
Yeah.
Yes. Look at the simple one of Okada. Has it done it? The environment is violated left, right, and center. Has it? The government doesn't have the political will to do it. All this is part of the political campaign. You understand? It's a political campaign to whip up people's sympathy. But in reality, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Let's see what the governor said, though. He said the state government is set for the enforcement of a monthly tenancy on property occupancy from 2022. It is confirmed that the percentage of residents depending on tenancy arrangement for housing in Lagos is high. While building homes for those with home ownership dreams, we are also determined to cater for numerous. Let the Lagos state government tell us, since the inception of AD up to APC and so on, let them give us the number of houses that have been built. Is it up to 500,000? For the city of Lagos. These things are done where you have... It's a matter of demand and supply. I wouldn't... No government can tell me to give up my house on a monthly basis. Knowing what I'm going through, the cost of... Let's be realistic here. I would love to see it happen. I would love to. Of course, I'm a tenant, so I'd love if I can pay my rent monthly. But don't let's raise our people's hopes unduly. It's not going to happen. If the government had gone into mass housing,
it would have forced the hands of landlords.
It's like the issue of telecoms.
Yeah.
So all these political gimmicks, I don't know. Somebody is advising this governor wrongly. I'm sorry, I have to say it. Infrastructure. The low hanging fruits that would endear people towards you, you don't want to handle. You just have a fear about enforcing the law. And so, like I said, I don't think it would be nice and fair to our people to raise their hopes unduly that from next year you'll be paying your rent monthly. It's going to cause a lot of friction.
Okay, I would love to hear what people think. Actually, I think I should do something on that.
Yeah, but you find more emotional people saying that it can happen. But I'm a realist. I'm not taken in by. I say it as it is. I'm a realist, and I know that. Like my friend's wife told me one time, it ain't gonna happen.
Because I'm looking at a situation whereby an employee who works for someone and the person doesn't pay regularly, like 2-3 months.
What about
so
1 year?
Have
you forgotten the big man who turned 70 recently, got the biggest juju band, everything, but hadn't paid his staff for over a year?
Do you understand? Like, what then happens to such people?
They live on the streets. But then he put up an argument and he said, but his car park is full.
go and argue with that.
Go and argue with that. You say I don't pay you. Who owns all these cars? we seem to have found a way around. It's not the best, I agree. But we are talking reality here. It would be nice if that could happen.
Yeah.
But I doubt it very, very much. Either if you had mass housing or you had some low-level mortgage policy that made it easy for landlords to acquire houses to give out to rent. For example, in other countries, they have mortgage to live in and mortgage to let. If you had a mortgage policy geared towards providing cheap houses, the government doesn't need to provide, but you can make, you can get the environment, whatever. So it's okay, Sheriff, this is land. You can quickly build a house, rent it out at. But in the current situation, it's propaganda. These are the kind of things they're going to have, to deceive our people, when elections are around the corner.
Yeah.
And then during campaigns, we say, yes, we have done this. But everybody knows reality. We are watching. We are watching these politicians. Somebody is going to come up. I've heard it. Somebody said somewhere that you're always attacking. I'm not attacking, but I'm watching. to make sure that there's no form of uruuru in 2023. Tell us what is doable. What is not doable, don't raise our hopes. This is it's not going to
work. Someone also, Olatunde Olajide, says the government creates an artificial market that is hyper expensive, charge all sorts to erect a building and now come around to dictate to landlords how to collect rent.
It's not going to work. It's a contradiction in terms. Thank you very much, Mr. What's his name?
Olatunde.
If you can find a way to call me, you get one of my presents for next week.
And JFR says, oh, congrats to you. JFR says, the proposed monthly tenancy will only favor regular monthly salary earners. Small business owners with irregular earnings may find it difficult to pay monthly rent.
The issue is very clear. Yeah. If what you can pay is yearly rent, you say, Baba, advance in Fotoko. He won't say no.
He won't say no, actually. Baba, monthly new, but this is...
Or you put it in an envelope, in 12 envelopes, in 12. Every month.
Kai.
Then every month.
It will just be, you've arranged everything, you know, 12 envelopes.
Politicians need to be careful about how you raise people's hopes.
Yeah.
So you don't create confusion in the country.
Right.
Or in your environment. Please, when we say these things, we should be sure of what is doable.
And Shegun says the monthly rent payment arrangement is impracticable, though, however, there is need for some regulations in that space. Why not ask for quarterly payment or half year? That's what Shegun is proposing.
Just find a way to push the supply up. That's all. That's all. History has shown that's the way to go. It's not by regulation.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go to page 7 of the Punch newspaper. Nnamdi Kanu not maltreated, living in luxury, DSS.
Yeah, I'm glad the DSS have responded to what we asked for yesterday. And what we are told here by Dr. Afunaya, I call him doctor because I already see PhD at the end of his name, is that, it was just propaganda and that he enjoys full luxury in the holding facility incomparable to any of his type anywhere in the country. But when you say holding facility, I hope people understand what that means. Yes, the DSS has all kinds of holding facilities. It might not necessarily be dungeons. It might not necessarily be cells.
Mm-hmm.
It could be comfortable homes.
That's right.
You know,
it could be a duplex.
It could be nice air conditioned. We don't know.
We don't know.
And I don't think we'll be told anyway. Nkanu himself will tell us much later. But they say that he's accorded full rights and privileges and that adequate attention has been paid to his health. I don't know whether that means taking 21 blood samples.
Yeah.
But they have denied that fact. Next time Kanu is out, maybe some journalists should. Journalists need to work harder at some of these things.
Yeah.
We need to work harder. I remember in our own time, we found a way around these things, though. Delegiwa, all of them. Eric Teniola. If there's a story in this microphone, Eric Toye Akiode those days, they will fish it out. I don't know what's happening. And those were grueling days.
Yeah,
hard times when you'd have to a weekly paper that I produced with Kwame Ademilehi. He was editor. I was his deputy in 1981. It took us some 2 days to sleep overnight. There were no computers, cut and paste. But what we have today, where you have, you have all kinds of means to get things, and laziness seems to have cropped in, and, that's another story for another day.
Yeah, that's right. I think we can take this story before we go. Lawmakers on recess, holidaying workers risk kidnapping, DSS.
Well, yes, this is a DSS warning to everybody, and we are told here that lawmakers who are on recess and private workers are susceptible to kidnapping, assassinations, and armed robbery. What it means simply is don't get involved in the Christmas buzz. Okay? Come in, go about, your whatever as quietly as possible without notice that all of us are high-risk elements. That's essentially what it means. So this is not a time to show off, go to your village and such. Nobody is safe. Nobody under the sun is safe. In fact, just this morning I was talking to a friend that it's so bad that it's almost, for some people, it's almost difficult for them to go to the third house to go and say hello to their neighbor. That's how bad it is. But people don't know. We're in denial. People don't know the kind of dangerous situation. Country that we are living in. Heaven help us all.
Indeed. We must go. We must really, really go. Thank you so much, Jimmy Disu, for coming. Thank you. Sherif Kotri. We take the news now. When we return from the news, remember that Black Axe documentary? The BBC reporter that did that documentary joins us this morning on The Morning Crossfire, and he will tell us exactly what he saw, what he went through, what he gained, what he lost. Because when a reporter, you know, does a report like that, documentary like that, there's always something to give, to take. We're back with that at 8 o'clock this morning. He joins us from the UK. Good morning to you, Lagos.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.